Hello everyone and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It is Monday the 28th of February. I'm Maddie Plail and this week I'm joined by Keith Melrose and James Stevens. We're going to analyse the weekend's action and it was Christian Williams who dominated the headlines. He scooped the two big features at Kempton and also at Newcastle. Some grade two action at Kempton in the shape of the Adonis and the Pendle and the Dovecot. We'll talk about those trio of races, but also something for flat fans this week as the Winter Derby was won in really impressive style by Alan Kerr. We'll have a look at a couple of dark horses, the likes of Bring On The Night, who was really impressive on Sunday as well. So like all of you, we're counting down the days to the Cheltenham Festival. This week was a little bit quieter, but still very informative nonetheless. Let's start off at Kempton and with the opening handicap chase. James, it went the way of Phlegmatic for the Dan Skelton team. And interestingly, they have some longer distance targets in mind for this horse.
Yeah, I think that is interesting. And he's a horse that's really seems to have sort of come alive in this sort of point in the season. I mean, it was pretty straightforward, I thought, on sort of looking back on that race. It was sort of he was the best horse in the race and he won like it. I mean, in terms of what he's going to do next, it's very interesting, as you say, they're thinking not just sort of half a mile, but almost up to 3.5 miles, a whole mile more with this horse. But it's hard to judge, but you'd imagine he'd stay, you know, the way he sort of travelled through the race and such. It suggests that he's going to be, you know, sort of a good type for that test. I mean, I would possibly just be wary because, you know, the handicap is going to have his say. And I think you're not only asking a horse to improve one more step again, but it's also over a completely new trip. So yeah, I can understand why, but in the back of my mind I probably just consider others, and actually the sort of Bet365 Gold Cup, which I think was mentioned after the race as a target, I think we possibly did see a clue with that from another of runners on the cards anyway.
That's interesting. Look forward to hearing more about that in a little while. Keith, on to the Adonis, a grade two. It was won by Knight Salute. Well, he's got to be the leading British contender for the Triumph hurdle at the festival now, but it might not have gone his way had Teddy Blue made a mess of the last hurdle.
That's right. And yeah, he's beaten everything that's been put in front of him in Britain, but I think that's telling you a little bit about the quality that we've got in terms of the juvenile hurdlers in Britain this year. I'm not sure they're up to all that much. I thought it was an interesting comparison. His RPR coming into Saturday was 128, yet his BHA rating was 137. So there's quite a strong disconnect there. And I think the other thing that I noticed on a related point to this, and I know we're going to talk about the Dovecot at some point, but the highest rated horse in the Dovecot in BHA ratings was actually Issio, the four-year-old, which says to me that the BHA handicapper, yes, is maybe doing his little trick with pulling the horses down this year or keeping them a little bit lower with the normal novice hurdlers, but I don't think it's happening necessarily with the juvenile novice hurdlers. We've got a potentially an issue there where they're getting rated quite high. If you're Teddy Blue's connections, you're obviously delighted at what happened on Saturday, but you must be thinking you wish you'd had an entry in the Fred Winter. Although it'll get factored in for the ratings that come out tomorrow for that race. Teddy Blue's in the Triumph and presumably runs in that race next, but you'd have certainly been interested to see what sort of mark he was going to get had he been in the Fred Winter.
Yeah, I was quite interested in Iroko here for the Fred Winter, but he just looks like he needs further now. Knight Salute, though, would you have him over Porticello? They're roughly the same price. Porticello, anything from 9s to 12s, and Knight Salute 10s to 14s with Coral One Firm. Who would you have on top?
I've not really thought about it that deeply, Maddie, to be honest. My suspicion is it's a race for fifth, so I've not given it that an awful lot amount of thought. The British juveniles look sort of 140s country, and that's quite a bit below what you need to win most Triumphs these days.
Okay, we'll compare that race with the Dovecot coming up. But before we do, let's talk about the Grade 2 Pendle Novices Chase. And it once again went to Paul Nicholls. Pick Doherty was bouncing back from a below par performance at Sandown when we last saw him. But he won, beating Miller's Bank at Fantastic Lady in third. Manella Drama, the 4-7 favourite, could only manage fourth in the end. Pick Doherty, he's won a Betfair hurdle. He's clearly a very talented horse, James. And when he gets things right over fences, he's very good. How would you assess this performance?
Yeah, I mean, I know the favourite sort of didn't run a race, I don't think. But I've always been quite a big fan of Pick Doherty. And I think it was a cracking run. And it was a thrilling race to watch as well. Sort of loved the way he jumped the last and just sort of really just held off Miller's Bank in what was a really, really sort of good finish to it. I mean, this is a horse that's, as you sort of say, he, you know, at one point we thought he was a Betfair hurdle winner who's clearly going to thrive over fences. It didn't quite happen. That sort of next step didn't quite happen. But it might just be that now it's the time he's fulfilling that promise and that promise. And it might be as well that it's a horse that just needs this sort of flat track, this sort of conditions to be right in his favour for him to really be at his best. I mean, look, it's obvious. We've talked for a long time about the season, about Cheltenham and about things about Cheltenham. This is clearly a horse that we probably won't see at Cheltenham this season. This is an entry horse all day long. The manifesto is what Paul Nicholls said after the race would be his target. I mean, Paul Nicholls has been very clear that he really wants to target the big three meetings, the Cheltenham, the Ayr and the Aintree. He wants big runners at all of them. He's not just focusing on Cheltenham. And this is the classic type of horse that's going to sort of go on that direction. Look, Paul Nicholls has never won the manifesto, which is interesting, but he might not get a better chance in a few years he's had. This looks a really, really good horse. And I'll be interested to see what they sort of do with him going forward, because given the way he sort of finished, and I'll be interested to see what Keith thinks, I thought he finished like a horse who had a fair bit of speed. So if they were going to decide whether to go up or down, I would probably be more tempted to go down. But there's enough races at that middle distance. But yeah, I thought he was very, very good on the weekend.
Okay, perhaps that opens doors for Pick Doherty. Keith, before you answer James' question, what do you make about Paul Nicholls not targeting Cheltenham as much as perhaps other trainers and looking elsewhere? Do you think that's a mistake, or do you think that's a benefit that he's going to reap the rewards from?
No, you get the benefit of that, because a few things to remember about Cheltenham is, first of all, I had a look in last season, 46% of all Irish trained runners in Britain last jump season were at Cheltenham. So Ireland are targeting Cheltenham. Nicky Henderson famously targets Cheltenham. When the Betfair hurdle entries came out and everybody had their say about that, it was noted that it's worth 2/3 more, I think, or something, than the county hurdle at Cheltenham. And yet it's nowhere near as competitive. Nicholls is absolutely right in doing this. And we see it, we talked about Christian Williams stealing the headlines this weekend. Why did he target this weekend in particular? Partly it's because he had the horses, but it's also because he knows what you were going to say in your intro, Maddie. Quiet weekend in Britain. Not for Christian Williams, it isn't. Not if you've got the horses for the races that weekend. And Nicholls is just doing the same. It's no coincidence that Christian Williams learned at Paul Nicholls' elbow. Was he the second jockey there for a while? He was certainly one of, he was on Nicholls' roster for a while as a rider. And it's absolutely the right thing to do, Nicholls, with this horse in particular, Pick Doherty. A lot of his form is at flat tracks. He is just a horse that seems, I thought until Saturday, and I'm going to come on and answer James' questions now, because I thought until Saturday he was a little bit of a horse that went off at a speed, had a rhythm, and just could maintain a good gallop. Saturday's race was actually a very fast finish. They finished at about a second a furlong quicker from the third last fence. 105% for those that know that sort of language, but I'm testing out a new nomenclature for sectionals. They were a second a furlong quicker from three out. So he's done Miller's Bank for speed, and clearly does have a little bit more of a change of gear than I'd maybe credited with him in the past. He will have to go to Aintree now. He's not got entries at Cheltenham, actually. He's not even in a handicap. So he will be going for the manifesto. And, you know, Nicholls has never won that race, as James said, which was something I didn't know. But he tends to go to Aintree with the horses he wins the Pendle with. He's won 12 Pendles now, said the commentary on Saturday. And he didn't win the manifesto with Surname. We know why with Surname, because it turned out until he got a lot older, he couldn't really hack going left-handed. He had his own ideas about things. So Aintree didn't really suit him. I remember I actually backed him for the manifesto because I had so much faith in his talent, but his head wasn't there at that point. So yeah, Pick Doherty's exactly the right sort for the manifesto. I was just surprised they ran him in the Scilly Isles. When he won in December at Ascot, I thought, well, you won't see this horse until the Pendle. So that was a sort of black mark coming into this race, wasn't it? How he'd run so ordinarily and cut out, really, in the Scilly Isles. But it just goes to show, I think, Sandown is a little more of a sort of down and stiff finish track. The ground would have been a bit more wintry at the time. So give him not too bad a ground. Give him a nice flat track where he can not only cruise, but we've now seen he can sprint. And he's a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, he'll go to the manifesto with his chance. And he'll be dependent on what turns up against him. And what turns up against him will often be a result of what's happened at Cheltenham. Whereas Pick Doherty's not thinking about Cheltenham. As soon as he's got back in his horse box after Kempton on Saturday, his trainer's only thinking about one thing, and that's how do I get him ready for Aintree. So that's one advantage he'll have.
Yes, and also in a way, I guess you could argue he boosted the Lompress form from the Scilly Isles. So if you're a fan of that horse, then perhaps
I'd be careful with
him
that.
A little boost.
No, I'd be careful with that. I mean, he didn't run, he didn't turn up in the Scilly Isles. You know, it's not, I don't think it, I think maybe it shows, if anything, that Lompress wasn't really beating Pickdory in the Scilly Isles. He wasn't beating the real Pickdory.
Okay, so you disagree then. Maybe it's just that the winner took him out of his comfort zone from such an early stage, he couldn't produce that sort of optimum performance. Anyway, moving on to the Skybet Dovecot Novices Hurdle. A couple of seconds quicker than the Adonis. Is that what we'd expect to see, Keith, quickly?
Yeah, I'd say so. There's, well, not on the official ratings, but you know, the sense is that the Dovecot, they're better, slightly better horses probably than the Adonis. The pace is a little bit quicker. The winning rider, Knock on Risk, actually made a difference to the result. There was two things I thought that settled this race, and that was A, the mistake, shall we have one more, made in the straight, but secondly, the aggressive ride Tom Cannon gave to Knock on Risk. So yeah, I would expect it to see the time a bit quicker.
Okay, James, Knock on Risk, he's been really boldly campaigned, been running a lot this season from bumpers through to hurdles, and that that confidence has been rewarded here. Shall we have one more? Lost little in defeat, I'd say. I thought this was a decent renewal. I can see quite a few winners coming out of this. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would have sort of looked at it and they sort of, the attraction of a sort of sexy novice that you want to go forward, and perhaps these that sort of took the top of betting didn't quite have that same profile. I mean, I was there when the winner won last time at Wincanton, and I won particularly well, I have to say, but it was a sort of novice handicap hurdle. I wasn't sort of looking at him thinking, well, this is, you know, this is a horse that's going to go and win a graded level next time. But credit to him, you know, he's had a busy old campaign. He'd run in the two bumpers at Cheltenham in the October and November meeting. He's gone all the way through and up the gear. So fair play to Chris Gordon. And, you know, this is definitely going to be a career best. And I wouldn't sort of know which direction they're going to head with him. I wouldn't give up on the second either. You know, there was a couple of excuses for him. If he had sort of jumped the last better, it would have been a bit closer. I'm still not kind of sure about what sort of ground he wants, to be honest. I'm beginning to think he might just want a bit quicker ground than sort of even quicker than we're sort of what we've said. So he could be a horse that really comes alive in the spring. But I think it was a good race. And as you say, it'll be interesting to see how the form comes from it through the rest of the season.
And Keith, you think some of the trainers looking ahead after this race are possibly looking in the wrong direction? Tell us why.
Possibly. I mean, I was pre-live on Saturday, so I was watching, I wasn't watching the telly what the trainers said, but the talk afterwards, so maybe saying it's more media than trainers, the talk more was about transposing what Knock on Risk had done and talking about the county hurdle, whereas for me, these horses have come into this race rated in around the 130 mark, and you know that for a start, that's barely getting you in the county, and I imagine Knock on Risk, having been rated 126 coming into this, Shall We Have One More is 133, I would argue Shall We Have One More shaped marginally the better of the two, but you're obviously quite closely matched. So I'm not sure Knock on Risk gets in the county. And even if he does, he's, you know, why Shall We Have One More particularly, he's got form at Sandown, and Knock on Risk's got a lot of form at right-handed tracks in Britain. Why it should be the Imperial Cup. This is the race for these sort of horses. Don't take on this blue blood that Willie Mullins has been saving for the county hurdle, because he can do that. He's got 50 of them. Go for the Imperial Cup instead. And that's the rate. I thought, looking before this race, I thought, tell you what, why aren't all these horses in handicaps? Because those ratings look pretty conservative to me. So just go and pick up a nice big handicap with them. So whether, you know, the Imperial Cup's one I've mentioned, get the programme book out, lads, and have a look. There might be the Scottish Champion Hurdle might be a good race. If you want to put one away for better ground, think about the Swinton. It's not all about the county hurdle. And Christian Williams showed us that this weekend. So I think maybe everybody, trainers, media, the lot, could do with looking a little bit further afield with horses like Knock on Risk, who, while very promising, you know, to win the county, any horse that wins the county hurdle, especially if it's a novice, we've shown they can win grade ones later in that spring. That's how well handicapped you have to be. You don't have to be that well handicapped to win an Imperial Cup or a Scottish Champion Hurdle or a Swinton. I think more people could benefit from thinking that way.
Okay, another big winner, and in the same race too for Chris Gordon, and he won the handicap hurdle later on the card with Storm Dennis. Tom Cannon had a treble himself and was also among the winners yesterday. So a good weekend for that pairing. Same words apply to Christian Williams, we've already mentioned, and Jack Tudor, who scooped the feature Coral Trophy handicap chase at the Grade 3 with Captain Nord, who was bouncing back to form. It was a 1-2 for the trainer, who had Kitty Slight finish second at 16-1. quite an eye-catching run from R Power in third, and sadly, some of the favourites in behind didn't perform. Ansam was pulled up, so too five-star Getaway. He ran in eighth, and the big breakaway was pulled up as well. When we talk about strength of handicaps, how strong do you think this was, James?
I think it was sort of, I'd go probably sit on the fence and say down the middle, to be honest with you, because I think that these sort of races do tend to get the same sort of horses in there, and it's sort of a build-up, you know, until the races that aren't at Cheltenham, so the ones that Aintree perhaps, and going on to the Betfrey 65 Gold Cup at the end of the year, but I'll touch on that in a bit. Yeah, interesting story. Sort of saw Christian Williams on a reporting day at Ludlow on Wednesday. He'd had a 50-1 winner, beaten on the line, and then he'd won the next race of a horse. I think it took him by surprise a little bit. And he was saying there, oh, really sort of needed. That's a real big confidence boost. I'm quite happy with that. And I sort of didn't clock how big a weekend he might have. And so I'm a little bit regretful I didn't back either of his. But yeah, I thought Captain Nord, it was a huge step forward in terms of his jumping. And I imagine it's sort of the cheek pieces that have done the trick. I mean, this was a horse that he'd always promised that he was going to have one of these big wins. You know, go back to that day over Christmas where he was second to Royal Pagai, and we've seen sort of what he's done and such. This was a horse who's always promised it, and it's just a case of having him right for a big day. It was a cracking run, and you know, he has had that big day now. I really, really like the run of Kitty's Light. I said this has always been a horse as well that we've always thought could go very, very far. I wasn't sure 3 miles at Kempton was really, so again, you know, was going to be what this horse wants. I've always thought this horse would want a bit further, and beaten in the Betfrey 65 Gold Cup, which was discussed as the sort of the obvious next place to go, having finished second or third. I can't remember where she finished or because of all the demotions and such. But what's interesting this season that's really going to change sort of the complexity of horses and plans is that you've now got the Scottish National before the Aintree Grand National, which essentially means Kitty's Light really could go for that instead and possibly then on to Sandown. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see which horses decide whether to have a crack at both, whether just to go for one or the other. That's going to be interesting. But I would quite like to see Kitty's Light in the Scottish National, though. I don't think she's going to sort of be sort of short of pace, so short of stamina. So that's going to be interesting to see how that sort of model works this season in terms of some of those good horses. But yeah, a good race, and fair play to Christian. I just wish I clocked it a bit earlier.
How high up the training ranks do you think Christian Williams is going to go? When we're talking about 10 years down the line, Keith, where do you see him situated? Because he's made a very, very impressive start.
Yeah, it's a question that's, I think it's indicative of the sort of racing industry at the moment. You can't tell because it's all dependent on what horses he gets, and what horses he gets depends on what owners he gets. So we'll have to see what happens in that regard. You know, to save a little bit with jockeys, there's a lot of jockeys that got good jobs where there was what you would say diplomatically is perhaps more deserving, and talented riders didn't get the same success because they didn't get the right jobs. And I think there's a lot of variance involved in that process. Nobody should be in any doubts now that Christian Williams is a trainer to be taken seriously. When he lines on up for a race, you should be listening, because he's clearly very good at it. He clearly thinks about the programme book, and it shouldn't be that obvious when you've got a trainer that does, quite frankly. So yeah, he's shown so much promise. I would like to see him get the horses now, because the ambition he showed with Kitty's Light, who ran in the Badger Ales as a four-year-old, you know, Captain Nord, who has had a lot of goes in these big races, and has finally got the one on a day like this. He's still managed to produce him to win a race like this. You know, but there's a few little runs in Captain Nord profile, ditto Kitty's Light this season, where you can almost sort of quite, you can see the thinking that goes into the background of getting them back for a race like this. So, you know, great work by Christian Williams. Great to see it. And yeah, so both of these horses, I suspect Captain Nord's had his day here. He's always been a horse that gets 3 miles, but isn't a proper plodder. If he was going to win a big one, it was likely to be a race like this, or the Sky Bet, where he finished third the last 2 years and possibly not quite got home. Whereas 3 miles around Kempton's bang on for him. Kitty's Light, we know, stays further, might have more joy in the spring. Taken wide all the way, Kitty's Light. And has anybody else noticed Brian Hughes doing that a lot this season?
Not sure. Can't say I've noticed.
Every time I'm watching Brian Hughes, and I caveat is I'm watching 90% chases and, you know, probably 10% anything else. Brian Hughes goes wide a lot. He's done it a lot at the moment. I think he's looking for better ground or something. He does it at Carlisle, he does it at Haydock, and now he's done it at Kempton. So I think I'll be watching it. And maybe even, I don't go in the track it much anymore, but I might even ask, you know, why he seems to be doing it a lot. And it's obviously bringing him great success, but they'll usually, when a jockey does something like that, and there's a deliberate ploy behind it. So it's just something to watch with Brian Hughes. Kitty's like going wide might not have been entirely trainer led. It might have been the jockey going, tell you what I've been doing, Christian. I've been taking them wide for better ground. And maybe that's what it is.
Perhaps. And Christian Williams was very happy to have Jack Tudor on board of his trio. He clearly managed to have the one that he wanted come home in front. He's a really promising jockey, and slightly older, but equally talented at riding chases is Ryan Mannier. And he rode Christian's Win My Wings to win the Vertem Ida Handicap Chase. Quite a straightforward win. And again, very well supported in the betting, James.
Yeah, as we say, I mean, this is a really, really good sort of training performance from that aspect. I mean, as sort of Keith mentioned there, it's about sort of a trainer sort of just getting a horse right on the right occasions. And I mean, you know, he's been bold with this horse. I remember this horse sort of winning at Cheltenham at the end of last season, and sort of, okay, Christian, where are you going to go? And you're not quite sure. And, you know, he goes over to France, you know, he decides that I'm going to do something. He just thinks outside the box a little bit, you know. He's seen a valuable race to go for. And there he's going to have a go. And he was rewarded. I can't remember what the price was, how the prize money was, but I'm pretty sure it was fairly good for a horse that we thought at that time was a pretty moderate handicapper. And she seems to have improved massively. I mean, the race she won at Exeter was quite a decent field, to be fair, and a couple of them have run out and won, and she's taken that next step forward. I think the sort of longer trip was always going to unlock that bit more improvement, but the cheap pieces as well seem to have really, everything's just sort of gone right. And it's a classic sort of target, isn't it? It's a sort of training for the certain race. And we talked about Paul Nicholls earlier. I mean, that's where you learn it from. The man who loves to target these races quite far, but out, get everything right, get all your sort of ducks in a line sort of thing. And this horse did it. I mean, I thought there was one to take out of a race, perhaps, was Rafinha, who was quite eye-catching. Quite a big horse, looks sort of like a big horse. And this was his second run of the season, so it might just be that he's still sort of coming to fitness. Jumped well, sort of travelled into it okay and just got tired. I would hope this is a horse that's going to sort of improve for that second run and perhaps be a little bit fitter for it, and may improve for a bit of softer ground too. So that was the one I would probably take from the race. But yeah, a fantastic target trainer, and we know exactly where he's learned that from.
Talking of one thing, James, who was a horse you thought had run a good Bet365 trial?
Well, Kitty's Light, I thought, was okay. The obvious one. But, of course, the interesting thing now is they've suddenly got the two options as to whether do they go back there or whether they go to air. So I thought Kitty's Light is made for Sandown, but I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to go to Scotland or both. It's tricky. I can't work out, but the system's gone, and it's my traditional sort of mindset of race planning seems to have been thrown out the window, I'm afraid.
I like the sound of Kitty's Light for the Scottish National. What do you think, Keith?
The course has got form at Sandown, and an area you want to probably be a bit more prominent than Sandown. I would have thought probably Sandown, to be honest. I haven't given the Scottish National all that much thought yet, but no, given what that horse has shown, I wouldn't see why you wouldn't go to Sandown unless you think that horse can take in both, which he possibly can. You know, he's six and had the race, and he has. I thought you were going to talk about Enrillo, James. You see, which if you'd ignored betting for that race on Saturday, you'd have said, oh, that was a lovely trial for going back to the Sandown for the Bet365, which he assumes a plan because they've got some unfinished business there. He was the best horse in that race, but obviously got kicked out. So I thought you'd run a really positive, encouraging trial for Sandown and just got a bit tired. But the market suggested he was more fancied than the way he shaped would have let you on to think. So it's an interesting one, but I thought he was the one that caught my eye for that race.
Yeah, okay, and the cheap pieces were on as well there, Keith. I thought he sort of jumped
him on as well. That's right. They sent him on a bit, didn't they? And yeah, it was a kind of funny one. But I thought you'd run a really encouraging race.
Okay, that's it for jumps for now, because we're going to go over to Lingfield and talk about the Winter Derby after this.
The Cheltenham Ultimate Guide is everything the smart punter needs for the 2022 Cheltenham Festival, with big race previews, tips and trends from the likes of Maddie Playle, Paul Keeley, Gavin Lynch and more. This guide has it all. Available at all good retailers from Friday, March 4th, or head to the Racing Post shop and order yours now.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now, a horse that I was a really big fan of last season was Alan Kerr, and he returned in the Lingfield Winter Derby on Saturday. He beat the 6-5 favourite Lord North with that fancy man in third. What sort of indication do you think this is going to give us to the flat season? Keith, do you think Alan Kerr's in for a big summer?
Potentially. Saturday's race, I mean, the Winter Derby, you thought that Lord North might have been sort of out to get himself tight and fit, and I think that's what happened. Big summer for Alan Kerr, you could say, but it's also going to be a very big summer for his jockey, isn't it, Kieran Fallon, who I thought he had to give that horse a great ride on Saturday. They broke the track record, which you wouldn't be terribly surprised at, given it was an above average couple of horses in the Winter Derby. But what's happened, Fallon took it up as they're coming down, and he basically said, right, we'll see if you're fit, shall we? And kicked on at a time that might have been seen as a little bit early for Lingfield generally, but he's obviously thought about it. He's obviously thought now is the time to go. He's made use of his horse's stamina. Alan Kerr stays quite well. So yeah, I thought it was an excellent ride. I'm really looking forward to seeing Kieran Fallon get more of these big rides this year. Obviously, it's an unfortunate circumstance in which for it to crop up, but nonetheless, take that out of the equation, and it's going to be great to see him in all these big races. And as you can see from what happened on Saturday, he's a young man that thinks about the game and has his own, you know, he doesn't necessarily go with the sort of party line. He can do it and have a bit of flair, and he showed it, and it won in the Winter Derby.
Sounds like you like him an awful lot. How much attention have you had a look at the Lincoln already?
None. I couldn't tell you the Derby favourite, to be honest. You'll have to wait until after Cheltenham's out the way before I start any sort of flat thinking for the summer.
I'm used to you digging into these races well in advance. I'm sure some of the flat fanatics have done. But yes, understandably, so much jump racing still to get through. And James, a horse that you've mentioned on this show before, Escaria 10, he ran a nice Grand National trial in the Bobby Joe Chase, just pipped by Any Second Now. Must have hurt a little bit.
No. I was sort of quietly pleased, to be fair. yeah, it was a really sort of interesting trial. I mean, they were sort of all there, weren't they? It was sort of an interesting race to watch with a view to sort of entry. I mean, it's so difficult sort of trying to assess a race, which is obviously so different to the Grand National. I mean, you can expect, you know, we know the fences are going to be different. We know that it's over a mile longer, and you can probably expect it's probably going to be a mildly better ground as well. But yeah, he sort of had his chance, didn't he? In Any Second Now, who we know is a sort of really classy operator, just sort of got there. Yeah, you couldn't knock both the front two there. You thought they were sort of in good shape, and the fact they finished 42 lengths in front of Burroughs Saint, who probably didn't run his race, suggests that those two are going to head to entry in a good bit of form. So yeah, it's looking good for those two, but as we say, I'm sure chat will throw up a few more entry clues. But no, I wasn't getting stuck in on Saturday, but I already have for entry, so we'll see.
I was disappointed by Saturday, let me tell you, because I was an Any Second Now fan last year, and so to watch him win a Bobby
Joe.
and the thing is, but what I think that run on Saturday, I thought Escaria 10 got the run of things on Saturday, and Any Second Now did actually really well to get to him, and the SPs maybe tell you that Any Second Now has got some tightening up to do as well. He shaped like he was the best horse by daylight potentially, and it sort of firmed up this idea that I expressed before last year's National, actually, that they could have won a grade one with this horse potentially. He is that good, and the fact they haven't is a function mostly of who owns him, because in the time between him winning the Kim Muir and finishing third in last year's Grand National, I think JP McManus had 16 grade one winners, so he doesn't need to bother that much about the one he might have missed. Whereas Any Second Now is an extremely talented horse. The fact he'll have slightly better, you know, terms, like he's a pound better off for Escaria 10 in the National. I just think he deserves to be shorter than the betting, even, you know, allowing for the fact he was third in the race last year despite getting wiped out. He deserves to be Grand National favourite, doesn't he? Because he's a grade one horse running in a handicap, and I think Saturday might have shown us that finally, that he is indeed that grade one horse.
Thanks very much for that, Keith. Now on to Sunday. and the Donnelly colours came home in front, so we better talk about that. At Nace, there was a maiden hurdle, and it was won by a horse called Bring on the Night for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. This horse could be pretty smart, couldn't he, James?
Yeah, it's definitely one to flag, because I think we sort of look at the Willie Mullins sort of teams and the novices he sends, and I don't think the Willie Mullins sort of structure ever says we're going to sort of run on the last weekend of February and then go to Cheltenham like that. I think this is horse who's probably had his problems, who might not have been as straightforward. He had some very good flat form before he joined the yard, but the performance he put up on Sunday was particularly good. You know, he travelled through the race very nicely, was a bit green, didn't jump particularly great, but you can sort of tell he's a good horse. And I think the price of about 20 to 1 for the Supreme suggests that he's good enough to sort of take his chance, I suppose, against what looks a really, really, really strong division. I mean, there are some negatives. The time comparatively was slow. There were 5 hurdle races, all ran over 7.5 miles, and that time was the slowest. I sort of wonder whether he's going to be a horse that's better over a sort of 2.5 miler. I was looking through the sort of history of that race, and a lot of the horses do end up sort of at their best over that sort of trip. But this is a horse who was learning on the job, and he probably got better just towards the end of the sort of the end of the race. That's when he was sort of picking up almost appears to be sort of looking most straightforward towards the very end of the race. So yeah, an interesting horse going forward. I'd sort of watch him with a bit of caution in terms of the Supreme, and by all means, I think he's going to go there, but he'll be a good horse, but it just might not be yet, but definitely one to sort of keep an eye out for.
Okay, the opening Grade 3 on the card was won by Captain Guinness, so he's not off to Cheltenham and the Champion Chase, but Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore, they scooped a double on the card, clearly coming back into some sort of form, which would be good news if you're a Manella Indo fan. He'll, coincidentally, be partnered by Robbie Power. So much racing this weekend. We've not even touched upon the Japanese dominance in Saudi Arabia. The big race there won by a local horse. Also some good action in Australia. But what caught your eye, guys? Keith, what entered your notebook?
I'm not so sure about notebooks, to be honest. And I've not actually looked at the undercard chases on Saturday. I'm going to examine them this afternoon. But I was heartened to see Le Cavs and Ostra win at Hereford on Sunday there. He won the Conditional Jockeys Veterans Handicap Chase. He was my spirit son for a long time. After he won that race, well, he won 2 races that in autumn 2019. The second one, he beat Lord of Menil when Lord of Menil was rated about 120 and beat him well. He's a really slick jumper. He was an exciting horse. I thought he had Classic Chase winner 2020 written all over him. He didn't get seen for 2 years. He got wiped out at Chepstow in his belated reappearance, but won this Conditional Jockeys Veterans race at Hereford on Sunday. He went off at 9-1. Now, the Cavs and Ostra of old have been going off 9-4. So that, plus the fact his reappearance run didn't get very far, plus the fact he actually jumped to his left a little bit, there might be another big day in him in the spring. I hope there is, because he's a horse that I like an awful lot.
Yeah, he's been languishing in your notebook for a long time, I'd say. So keep him in there, Le Castro and Officer. I thought it was a great ride from Hugh Nugent, who bided his time aboard the horse and delivered him at the perfect juncture. James, who caught your eye?
Yeah, I'm afraid we're going pretty low grade, actually. The one that I've written down and sort of felt, I mean, I tend to watch quite a lot of low grade races, unfortunately, but that's sometimes what you do. The horse that got my eye was a horse called White Hart Lady for Harry Fry, which ran on Taunton on Tuesday. Now, this is a horse that's sort of been knocking on the door a little bit. It just looked to me all day long that a horse that didn't quite stay 3 miles, but is in a really good sort of piece of form, and, you know, just seems to be running consistently all the time. If this horse sort of steps down in trip, I would be pretty surprised if she's not winning next time. So White Hart Lady in the 450 at Taunton was the one that got my eye, and I hope she can sort of go 2 places better when we see her next.
Cheltenham Festival is nearly here, and now is an excellent time to subscribe to Racing Post Members Club. You can rely on our team of award-winning journalists to keep you informed during the build-up to and throughout the biggest racing event of the year. Plus, you'll unlock unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper from 9 p.m. the evening before it's available in the shops. For a limited time only, new customers pay just $9.99 for their first month and unlock all subscriber benefits. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final instalment of the Monday podcast. And as I said before the break, some quietly interesting cards for this Saturday, but we're going to cast our eye on the meetings before then. James, where are you off to this week?
Yeah, one of my favourites, I like smaller tracks that sort of have big days, and it's the Forbra Gold Cup this week at Ludlow, which is one of the most historic races that's been around. It's been around for years and years, and it's going to be interesting again because the local trainer, Henry Daly, has got Head to the Stars going for a third win, which even in this race is rich history. I'm not sure if many have won three of them, so that'll be interesting. I will, though, take him on with Nisha Williams' Fuji Flight. I mean, I know there's a few concerns about the stable at the minute, but this was a horse who looked, you know, really quite impressive the last day. He'd always sort of promised a lot. He had some pretty sort of good French form and put it all together to win at Hereford last time. There was a big sort of drawback because he jumped left and he's sort of going the same way around this time around. But I thought he looked like a horse who's really on the up and was really promised, finally delivering on this promise. £7 rise is probably about fair, but he looks to me an improver all day long. And sort of given the fact that his jumping wasn't all there, I wouldn't be surprised if the cheap pieces are sort of added to him. Wet forecast in his favour as well, given his sort of form in France. So, yeah, I hope he can get his name on a very historic roll of honour.
Is he your nap or have you got another one for us?
No, I'd put him in as the nap.
Strong fancy for James then, Fuji Flight at Ludlow in the Forbra Gold Cup. Keith, any horses to note and the best bet as well from you?
It's horses to note because at the moment we've got, you know, only final fields for up to Wednesday. That Forbra looks a really good race, actually. I mean, it could be, it's not out of the question that Venetia could send Fuji Flight. You could also send Farinate, and she's got another one in there as well. I've forgotten which one it is now, but it was, I thought Chambard's in there. I thought that was a bit too competitive to really come down on one at this moment, but I'll almost certainly have a bet in that race. There's one at Catterick tomorrow now. I think I've seen that James might have tipped against this horse, but I thought Brother Pat was quite an interesting horse in the 3:15 at Catterick on Tuesday. Not had that much of a go. He looks really slow, but he's bred for the flat, and he finished third, shaping pretty well in the Lincolnshire National on Boxing Day when we last saw him. He was out the back in a race where that wasn't really the place to be, and he runs in the 3:15 Catterick on Tuesday. He's got to have a chance there. On the Ludlow card on Thursday, there's a 2.5 mile handicap chase for novices, and it's a race that not available is in. Now, you'll be not available from his couple of wins over 2 miles just before the turn of the year, but he always looked like a horse that wanted to go over further to me. And on his last two starts, as he's went a little bit up in grade over at 2 miles, I think he's been found out for speed more than anything else. So he gets a go at 2.5 miles potentially at Ludlow on Thursday, and it does look a bit of a warm race. Rockstar Ronnie's in there. You bet you're shaped quite well last time. Carl Philippe's the last time out winner. It depends what turns up a little bit, but I think this horse is possibly going to improve for going up and trip a little bit. And then Newbury on Friday, we've got Numitor out in a race that doesn't actually look that good for the grade. At 4:35 at Newbury, you expect all the Newbury handicaps to be really, really hot, but this one doesn't look so hot, and Numitor is in there. Obviously got plenty of form in these 2 mile handicap chases, with actually second to Il Ridotto, who on the day looked like he had stones in hand at the Ladbrokes Trophy meeting. So he's one to look out for on Friday. If there's a nap in there, it possibly is not available purely because I've been waiting ages for this horse to go back up and trip, and now he does. Bets are always dependent on the opposition, Maddie, so I don't like naps before decks, but that's the horse that I'm likeliest to be backing during the week.
Fantastic. We'll see if your theory is proved correct then. And if you did want more information on those Saturday handicaps, we can't look at them just yet because we're recording this slightly earlier this week. But the good news is the team on Friday will be able to help you with those. So make sure to tune into that. And we'll see you again at a similar time next week. See you soon. Have a good week.